Shall we pray? God, how we thank you and praise you for your amazing grace. We thank you and praise you for our own testimony that you have seen us through dangers, toils, and snares. We have already come. It was grace that brought us safe thus far. We thank you for your grace that will lead us on. We thank you now for this moment that you have impregnated with such powerful possibilities. We thank you for your presence as you've inhabited our praise. We thank you that you hear and answer prayer, and we thank you now for the power of your word. Thank you for 10 years of prophetic and pastoral and priestly ministry that has come from this sacred space. Thank you for Dr. Howard John Wesley. Thank you, Heavenly Father, now for this opportunity to hear from you. And yes, we need a word from you. We need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do? And you're omniscient, omnicompetent. You know what we're up against, what we're going through, what we're dealing with, how we feel, where we need to grow. We need a word from you. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I make myself available to be used as your witness. Stand in my body, take over my mind and think your thoughts. Take my mouth now and speak your word. Bless your word. Give power to your word. Let your word go forth with such power that none of us leave here the same way we came. Bless your word in such a way that lives are changed and souls are saved. Bless your word. Now do exceeding abundantly above anything I can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Our God is good. Our God is great and worthy of worship. I'm Peacock Proud and Honeymoon Happy to be here at Alfred Street. I have such appreciative admiration for your dynamic pastor, Dr. Howard John Wesley. I was really blown away as he was engaging in hyperbole to introduce me. I had to pray that God would forgive both of us, forgive him for lying while he was introducing me, and then forgive me because I like the way he lied about me. So it means a whole lot because I think you already know that Howard John Wesley, Dr. Howard John Wesley, has come to represent the best of the Christian pulpit, especially the best of the black church preaching tradition. I said behind his back on more than one occasion in recent days that under his leadership, his prophetic and pastoral leadership, Alfred Street is now what I call the African-American pulpit in the nation. Whenever there is a crisis, we know there's going to be a clear, prophetic, pastoral, liberating word from this pulpit. And I can call the roll. I can call the roll. You know what happened in the aftermath of the verdict, George Zimmerman acquitted from killing Trayvon Martin. The very next morning, after the verdict had been rendered, and in Dallas, it's 10 p.m. when I got word, so it's 11 here, and yet your pastor stayed up all night long and gave a word our nation and our black community needed to hear, and I think we need to celebrate that. Amen. 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 I was on vacation when there was a meeting at the White House, and some people were hyped about being at the table. And I wanted to preach that Sunday so bad, but I'm on vacation, so I said, let me tune in to Alfred Street. And this Negro preached. Jesus, he preached. A seat at the table. Lord, have mercy. So I celebrate with you the greatness and grandeur of Pastor Howard John Wesley. He unites in holy wedlock in his preaching and in his pastoral ministry, as Dr. William Augustus Jones Jr. would say, sense and soul, scholarship and spirit. And then, of course, it all empowers us to live powerfully in this crazy world. So, man, I salute you for being who you are, and I thank God for your ministry, and I'm honored to be here and to share with Dr. Jacques today. God bless you. I've heard so much about your ministry. I can't wait to hear you at 9:30. I already got my shouting shoes on, so God bless you, and I thank God for you. In this service, I want to look at a wonderfully familiar passage of Scripture found in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 13, beginning at the 10th verse, from the New Revised Standard Version translation of the Greek New Testament. Here, God's living word. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work, on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to put a tag on this text, and for a few moments with your prayers, I want to talk about a ministry that shines while people throw shade. A ministry that shines while people throw shade. There are some shady people in this world. Some people will throw shade when God blesses you to shine. Some are so sick they can't stand you being healthy. Others don't feel tall unless they make you feel small. There are some shady people in this world. It was June 9th, 1963. Fannie Lou Hamer, along with others, had gathered in the Carolinas for what the Southern Christian Leadership Conference had organized. It was called a citizenship education program. Fannie Lou had so moved the audience that she was seen as a leader in the eyes of Ella Baker, Septimus Clark, and other stalwarts of that movement who had gathered there in the Carolinas in order to teach our people two things. Number one, they were taught to redefine themselves for themselves, and you understand why. Audre Lorde is on point when she declared that you have to define yourself for yourself or you will be crushed into others' fantasies. In a real sense, that citizenship education program was defined or was designed to help our people to redefine ourselves. How important is that, growing up in a nation where in too many instances we are miseducated about ourselves? But not only was the citizenship education program beautifully designed to help them redefine themselves and see themselves as God sees them, but at the same time, it was designed to empower them to be agents of social change. Understand, they leave that place excited with expectation, empowered to go back to their respective communities to make a difference. And on the bus ride from the Carolinas back to Mississippi, Fannie Lou Hamer sang the song that she became famous for, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Of course, that encouraged and emboldened those who were on the bus making their way through the apartheid of Jim Crow South. And as they made their way into Mississippi, suddenly there was a dark cloud of pessimism that came over that bus. But Fannie Lou kept on singing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." time the bus was pulled over by a police officer, parenthetically, we all know that the policing system was set up, watch this, in a real sense to control, to engage in social control of people of Ebony Hue. Always remember that when what happened in Dallas just this past Thursday night, a black man discovered that you are weaponized and criminalized even in your own living room when you come up against a white police officer or any officer that has been brought up in the sick system of policing that is rooted, don't miss this, in the slave patrols, the black codes, not to mention has in its DNA Bull Connor and Jim Clark. Well, my sisters and brothers, here is Fannie Lou along with others having come from the Carolinas. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference has blessed and empowered them through the citizenship education program. The cops pulled them over in Mississippi, take them to Winona jail, and there in Winona jail, Fannie Lou sits and listens as her colleagues are beaten one at a time in the darkness of that jail. And in that jail, they have the bullpen, and that's where the beating took place. Finally, Fannie Lou was brought after hearing the pain and anguish of those who had been with her being severely beaten. They take Fannie Lou into that bullpen, and the jailers are so white weary from beating the others that they bring in some black inmates and have them to beat Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Hamer is beaten severely. 30 minutes into the brutal beating, she finds herself passing out, and when she awakens, she cannot move. Understand that Fannie Lou, my sisters and brothers, has been bloodied, bruised, and broken. But what makes matters worse is that she is bound. She is in jail, and she is in pain. I'm not coming through. She's in jail from a beating that had taken place, but she's also bound in jail in that she cannot get out of it. I hope you're catching the metaphor of the real situation experienced by Fannie Lou. She is in pain, but she is also a prisoner along with that pain. Is that not a perfect metaphor for what's happening in our text? Because we meet a woman, my sisters and brothers, for 18 years. She has been bound for 18 years. She is a prisoner of something according to our Lord and Liberator, our cinnamon-colored Christ. Jesus the Christ says that she had been bound by something demonic for 18 years. And using my anointed imagination, evidently 18 years prior, something demonic and evil had happened to her. And now, 18 years later, she is living in the anguished aftermath of what happened 18 years prior. I'm not even done, because my sisters and brothers, you do get that when Fannie Lou Hamer was beaten severely to the point of blacking out, that Fannie Lou did not just wake up in prison, but she woke up in still more pain. Why? Because it's not just the pain from the moment, it's the pain from the lingering after effects. I park here parenthetically because already I'm in somebody's Kool-Aid. I've called out your flavor, because if you're honest with yourself, something happened back then that still has you bound and in pain right now. Something demonic was done to you in the past, but sadly, it's made you a prisoner in the present. You are a victim, as it were, of what happened back then that's jacking with you right now. Understand that Fannie Lou finds herself on the receiving end demonically of social control. I guess that's why I've got to quote my girl Lauryn Hill now. Black rage is founded on blatant denial, squeezed economics, subsistence, survival, blessed deafening silence, and social control. Black rage is founded on wounds on the soul. There it is. She has wounds on her soul, both Fannie Lou and the woman in our text. Wounds on the soul. Who am I talking to that came to Alfred Street to today with wounds on your soul. Well, if that's the case, hang out with me because it gets worse. Because the text says not only does she have wounds on her soul, but to make matters worse, my sisters and brothers, there is a system in place that precludes her liberation. The Bible lets us know that there are those who are waiting on our sable-skinned Savior from the streets to heal this woman, and they are going to attack him if he does, because it's a violation of the law, a violation of the system for this sick woman to be healed on the Sabbath. It is something sick about the system. I'm not coming through. I'll make it real plain. I was preaching about a year ago up in Connecticut, speaking for the NAACP. They had a Freedom Fund banquet, and they invited me to speak for that. And so I spoke, here it is, on a Friday night. Saturday morning, I had to speak in New York in the Time Inc. building for a breakfast. I could not wait to get there. Check out what happened. I addressed the NAACP on Friday night, and then Saturday morning, I get up at 4 a.m. to catch a 6 a.m. flight. I arrive at the airport at 4:30. Check out what happened. There's a long line that is all the way outside. I'm tripping because my flight is at 6, and this line is so long, I'm not going to make my flight. I then decide to get out of the line and find out what's going on. Here's what I was told. I was told that during the night there was construction going on near the airport. A construction worker had hit a line that he was not supposed to hit. As a consequence, the system was broken. You missed your shout. The system was broken. Because the system was broken, they could not, watch this, give out electronically boarding passes. They had to do every boarding pass in hand. And so there we were in a long line stretched all the way outside because the system had been broken. I park here parenthetically because I need us to recognize racism and sexism are not merely when people are mad at you and say bad things about you, but it's a reflection of a system that has been broken in this nation. It is a system that has been broken. I got to get y'all because y'all still missing your shout. Here's what happened, sisters and brothers. It's 6 a.m. I'm still in the line, and I noticed that flights are taking off. That ticked me off because it meant that there were people, watch this, in spite of a broken system, who still benefited. Some perhaps were able to take off and make it to the White House in spite of being a xenophobic, racist, white supremacist man baby. They were able to take off, but because I was a victim of a broken system, I could not take off. That's what's going on in this passage. This woman is a victim of a system that has been broken until Jesus shows up with the ministry that shines while people throw shade. Preach, Freddie Haynes. I'm about to do that thing, because the text lets us know that Jesus, you know I'm talking about Jesus, our sable-skinned Savior from the streets. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus, who God had already used as the resurrection and the life to stop a funeral procession of devastating, heartbreaking grief and transform it into a festive family reunion. Jesus, my sisters and brothers, who would use his culinary supernatural creativity to take a two-piece and five biscuits and feed a multitude with a pop-up banquet in the wilderness. I'm talking about Jesus, who was able to not even set up an optometrist shop and yet restore sight to those who are blind. I'm talking about Jesus, who was able to heal the sick. You missed your shout. He healed the sick because he said, if you have a pre-existing condition, you don't have to wait until the Affordable Care Act. I heal those with pre-existing conditions. Do you see the ministry that shines? Well, one Sabbath day, he shows up in the synagogue and begins to preach, but he notices this woman who had been bent double for 18 years. Here comes your shout. out, he noticed her. Now, Chad Myers, the brilliant New Testament scholar and activist, says sagaciously that when healing takes place in the Bible, especially in the Luke narrative, understand it's not simply a biomedical miracle, but Luke is getting a message. Here's your shout right here to the fact that there were people who were broken in body, who were disvalued, and because they were disvalued, whenever healing came into their lives, the value gap had been obliterated. Y'all not getting it. Dr. Eddie Glaude Jr. says the problem in this country is not just the achievement gap, but there is a value gap. I'm about to get you. A value gap that says that some lives matter more than others. That's why we shout Black Lives Matter, because all them other lives have been mattering, and it's woven into the broken system of this nation. Y'all missed it. I see if I can help y'all. Have you thought about the fact that this nation responded to the opioid crisis by saying it is a public health crisis, and we therefore should label it a public health crisis? That's really good, because addiction should be treated. But why didn't they say that in the 80s and 70s when they flooded our communities with crack cocaine? Why? Because black lives don't matter like other lives matter in this nation. Y'all still not getting it. I'm just trying to let you know, some of y'all work on a job and you can train someone, and before you know it, they don't look like you, but you report to them and they're making more than you, because black lives in this nation do not matter. You better preach, Freddie Haynes. I'm doing the best I can. But hold on, my sisters and brothers. Jesus heals this woman, obliterates the value gap. And I love it, because I got to give my sister some mad props right here. You know why she gets me hyped? Because the text says for 18 years she's been in pain. For 18 years she's been struggling. And yet she is so womanish that she has the nerve to bring her brokenness to the synagogue. She refuses to allow her brokenness to get in the way of her worship. Ain't that like a black woman for you? Because black women, in spite of all the hell they catch in this country, black women keep on showing up. I thank God for black women, because black women made sure that in Alabama that we would not elect a pedophile to the United States Senate. I'm glad for black women. If it were not for black women, I don't know where we would be. And so Jesus heals this black woman on the Sabbath day. And the shout is, it's a ministry that shines while folk are throwing shade. Now, I've got to hang out here homiletically, because ain't no need of me lying and denying. Y'all are blowing up here at Alfred Street. I am too hype. I'm giving y'all a standing ovation, because for 10 years, God has used this pastor to make a profound and prophetic difference. This pastor who already has 3 degrees and now has the nerve to say, I'm going to take this another level. And he's working on a PhD in black preaching, because he recognizes that scholarship and spirit ought to always be united in holy wedlock. And God has used him right in earshot of the nation's capital to daringly, prophetically make waves and speak truth to power. But everybody ain't happy. You got some shady folk out there who are coming for this man who God is using to shine. And so I thought I'd come by on the 10th anniversary and tell you, shine on, Howard John Wesley. Shine on while other folk throw shade. How does it work? I'm almost done. It works, number one, the text lets us know that he can shine on like Jesus shined, because a ministry that shines will keep you, here's your shout, woke while folk try to make you sleep. All right, I'm trying not to shout myself, but that's what a ministry that shines does. It keeps you woke while folk try to make you sleepy. I love that right there, because is that not what happens in this text? Look what the sable-skinned Savior from the street, straight out of Nazareth, says to this woman who was bent double. Jesus says, woman, you're set free. You missed your shout. I'm talking so fast, let me slow my roll and help y'all get your shout on. Jesus says, says, woman, you are free. You still not shout. Now see if I can help you right quick. This woman had been bent double for 18 years, but Jesus speaks a word to her, a word that awakens her to her possibilities in spite of her pain and her past predicament. Y'all still missing your shout. I guess I'll see if I can help y'all. I think it was, who was it? Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. King, in his last speech, April 3rd, 1968, he talks about the fact that he had been stabbed in Harlem, New York by a demented woman. And then he said he received a letter because it had gotten out that if he had merely sneezed, he would have died. And a white girl from the White Plains School wrote him a letter and said, I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And Dr. King went on a Howard John Wesley roll and began to say, I'm so happy I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around in 1961 when Negroes in Albany, Georgia straightened their backs up. And whenever you straighten your back up, you're going somewhere, because nobody can ride your back unless you're bending over. And I'm so glad, my sisters and brothers, we got a preacher in Howard John Wesley that is delivering us from bent back Negroes, because we got too many bent back Negroes who serve on the Supreme Court, bent back Negroes who will in a real sense remain silent in the face of injustice. Bent back Negroes are just happy to have a seat at the table. Those are bent back Negroes. But Martin King said, no, Negroes in Albany straighten up their backs, and that's what God calls us to do. William Augustus Jones said the main sin of black people is that we've been so infected by white supremacy that we don't have healthy black pride. And so I'm declaring, Jesus says here, you need to be woke, my sister. You are free from your infirmity. Look what he said to her to get in her system and spirit. You are free from your infirmity. I'm not coming through like I need to. I'll make this real plain. Check this. I had to preach in the Bahamas earlier this year in January. Don't hate, celebrate. One day you'll participate. So I'm preaching in the Bahamas in January. I fly from Dallas to Miami. Once I get to Miami, I can't wait to get to the Bahamas. It's better in the Bahamas, especially in January. And y'all, here's what happened. We get on the plane, but when we boarded, I noticed that it was raining. It was storming outside in Miami. And so I get on the plane, take my seat. A young sister is seated next to me. And when I take my seat, she takes her seat. And then we sit and we sit and we sit. Why? Pilot comes over the PA system and says, there's a storm over the airport. Lightning has been reported. We cannot take off as long as lightning is flashing. So we're going to sit here. And y'all, we sat there and sat there. This young sister, probably about 13 years old, turns around to her father who's seated behind and says, Daddy, are we going to get there in time? The father says, honey, just calm down. It's going to be all right. And then all of a sudden, here comes the shout. The shout is, it's still raining, but the pilot comes over the PA system and says, this is your captain speaking. I've just come to let you know we've been cleared by the control tower. It's still raining, but the lightning has stopped, and so we're going to take off in the storm because we've been cleared by the control tower. That little girl seated next to me, she stood up in her seat and said, thank you, Jesus. Watch this. She thanked the Lord even though the storm was still raging because she heard an announcement. And that's all I came to say. Every Sunday, when you deal with the darkness of the day we find ourselves in, isn't it good to know we got somebody who's making an announcement that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I'm glad we got a preacher who's going to make an announcement. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles, run and not get weary, walk and not faint. I've got to rush on because it's 9:30 coming. There's something else the text says. After you awoke, watch this. The text lets us know a ministry that shines recognizes that when haters come for you, Jesus will come for them. I like that. I like that. I like that. Because Howard John, I know haters are going to come for you, bro. But I'm so glad when they come for you, Jesus will come for them. Don't you see what happened in the text? This synagogue ruler gets up and engages in being passive aggressive. He ain't going to talk to Jesus directly because he ain't got it like that. He says, if y'all want to get healed, you got 6 days to do that. Don't do it on the Sabbath day. Ain't that tacky anti-Nietzsche? He can't even talk to Jesus himself. But Jesus says, oh, you want to come for her? Well, let me come for you. Sis, don't even say a word. I'll handle this man right here, since he's going to be all hypocritical like that, because he doesn't recognize that just because he has the position, it doesn't mean that he has the power. He's the ruler of the synagogue, but I'm the ruler of eternity, because you ain't got to have position to have power. Y'all do recognize a whole lot of folk have position, but God anoints someone else with the power. Y'all miss your shout. I'll see if I can help you right quick. Y'all do recognize that who was it? Abraham Lincoln had position, but Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass, they had the power. Y'all didn't shout. Woodrow Wilson had position, but Paul Robeson and the NAACP with W.E.B. Du Bois and Ida B. Wells, they had the power. Y'all still didn't shout. The bus driver on December 1st, 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama had position, but Rosa Parks, she had the power. Lyndon Baines Johnson had position, but Martin King had the power. Y'all still missing your shout. I gotta go Bible. Pharaoh had position, but Moses had the power. Saul had position, but David had the power. Zedekiah had position, but Jeremiah had the power. Nebuchadnezzar had position, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had the power. Y'all still didn't shout. Here it is. Pilate had position. But Jesus said, don't nobody take my life. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'll pick it back up again. So here it is. And this is what gets me shouting, is that Jesus says, you hypocrites, I gotta come for you. I like that, because there's a lot of hypocrisy in the church today. John MacArthur came out with a statement recently, and he said that social justice preaching is heretical. And he called people like Howard John Wesley heretics because they dare to unite Jesus with justice. Because John MacArthur preaches from an edited Bible that edits out Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, set the captives free. Preaches from an edited Bible. And here's the hypocrisy. John MacArthur will have a lot to say about preaching against injustice, but won't say nothing about the injustice going on. The hypocrisy of Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys is that Jerry Jones had a lot to say about standing for the national anthem, but you won't hear him say a mumbling word about the brother that got killed on Thursday night in Dallas, Texas, because the hypocrisy knows no bounds. Oh, but I love it, because when folk come for you, Jesus says, chill. I got this. I got them. Y'all think I'm making this up? The Bible always says, you know how Jesus, what he'll do when folk come for you. I love this. Jesus will prepare a table before you in the presence of folk that can't stand you. You didn't shout. You didn't like that? I see if I can help y'all. Freddie Haynes remix it. Jesus will throw a blessing party in your honor, but the party can't jump off until your haters RSVP. Party over here. Okay, I got to get you, because you still, you still didn't shout. This is good. This is good. Joseph tells his brothers who sold him into slavery, they came for him. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now, I knew I was preaching for Dr. Howard John Wesley, so I said, I got to do my homework. And etymologically, I unpacked the word meant in Hebrew. It's going to kill you. The word meant in Hebrew, one of the words we get from it is weave. You meant it for evil, but God weaved it. Okay, all right. God weaved it. Okay, keep looking my way. Don't look to see who has a weave. Just look my way. Because there's power in a weave. You meant it for evil, but God weaved it. You can go to the beauty shop looking one way, come out looking another way, because there's power in the weave. So watch this. My sister-in-law, Patty, lives in Detroit, and she sent this to me. Google it. It's the true story. Send me this story, and Doc, check this out. The story is of a woman in Detroit was waiting on the bus. A sister waiting on the bus and got shot in the head. Shot in the head, falls down, gets back up. Shot in the head, falls down, gets back up because the bullet got stuck. And Joseph tells his brothers, you meant it for evil. You shot your best shot, but God made it get stuck in God's weave, because God is unbelievable. When people come for you, God will come for them. I'll quit. This is my last thing, okay? I can't wait for the next service. Here's the last piece. It's going to shout you. The text lets us know in the final analysis that Jesus says to this woman and says in essence to all of us in this ministry that shines, and that is that in this life, it's your sense of identity that will transform your trajectory so you can subvert the system. Preach, Freddie. I just did. Your sense of identity. Look what Jesus says to her. You're a daughter of Abraham. Y'all missed your shout. He calls this woman a second-class citizen in that nation. He calls this woman a daughter of Abraham. Y'all still not shouting. A woman, a daughter of Abraham, I'll help you. You do recognize that when Jews prayed, they would pray, Lord, I thank you. I'm not a leper, I'm not a Gentile, and I'm not a woman, because women were considered second-class citizens at best. But here comes Jesus, our liberator, saying, this is a daughter of Abraham, because when you know who you are, can't nobody else tell you who you are, because your power is in your sense of identity. That's one reason. I'm Wakanda forever, because, I mean, Black Panther did the thing for me. Y'all saw Black Panther, I hope. In Black Panther, you recall that before T'Challa could become king, after daddy died, he had to experience a challenge. And here comes M'Baku. M'Baku comes for him, and the fight is on. And y'all recall in the fight that T'Challa is losing. T'Challa is getting whooped, but he's held back in a bear grip by M'Baku. And he sees his mother, played by the regal Angela Bassett. And guess what Angela says? Show him who you are. And I came to tell somebody, when you leave church today, if somebody comes for you wrong, some M'Baku says, who, Angela says, show him who you. Okay. I see what's going on, and I love it. Because by now I thought y'all would be running out of here shouting. I really did, because I mean, I've been preaching my heart out, and I just knew y'all would be shouting. But I get what's going on. You have this PhD of a preacher who teaches you every week. And as a consequence, you know how to hear a sermon. Every church can't hear a sermon right. See, y'all, you know, I'm going to tell you what y'all are doing. Y'all are listening, ready to shout. Because some churches listen, but they never get around to shouting. Other churches shouting, and you know them Negroes ain't listening. It's about both listening and shouting. And listening will help you to shout, because listening means you're thinking. And thinking will make you shout. Because if you know how to think, inevitably you start to thank. Oh, yeah. I mean, can we do a think party right quick? If you start thinking about some of the hell you've been through, if you start thinking about some doors that opened up for you that you didn't even knock on, if you start thinking about how God gave you chance after chance after, if you start, can we do a think party when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done? So here it is. I hear y'all thinking, and I know what you're thinking. Freddie Haynes, this has been good, but you ain't gonna get out of here till you tell us. If you made your flight from Connecticut to New York, because y'all been sitting here the whole sermon, filling for me, did you make your engagement at the Time Warner building in NYC? Thank you for your compassion. I'll go ahead and set you free because the system was broken and planes were taken off without me, including the plane I was supposed to be on at 6 a.m. Here's what happened. My cell phone rang. I answered the phone and the person, watch this, who was chair of the event where I was speaking at the prayer breakfast in New York said, listen, I've just heard about what's going on in Connecticut and you are you going to make the flight? I said, no, I can't. Make it. He said, well, don't worry. I've sent my son on my private jet to come get you. I know the system is broken, but we're going to subvert the system because I'm sending my son on a private jet to come get you. I hung up talking to the father. I went over to a private airstrip and I got a plane going from Connecticut to New York City. Why? Because even though the system was broken, I had a conversation with the father. The father sent his son and I made it to my engagement. I'm so glad we got a preacher right here. For 10 years, he's been shining. Shine on, Howard John. And when it gets dark, just call on your father. Your father will send the son and you'll make it where you go in peace.